John chapter 8. Thank you, Eddie and Misty. What a blessing. By the way, you veterans weren't stupid, and the kids that are in there now aren't stupid. Did you know 91% of the kids that are in the military today are all high school graduates? And 97% of the officers are all college graduates. So Mr. Kerry, the politician, as Bud says, Mr. Kerry, the stupid politician, he better check his facts out. Of course, most of those people, that persuasion, they think it's stupid to protect America. So it doesn't surprise me they say those things. All righty, I'll move on. All righty, this morning I'm going to preach to you a message. What Jesus wrote, John chapter 8. What Jesus wrote. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I am so glad you're here today. Great seeing you. Good to see each one of you. God bless you. Little Samara and Zeke are on their way to Florida, and probably one day this coming week, Zeke and Samara will see Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and Pluto and all the rest of them. Amen. Tinkerbell, and they'll have a lot of fun down there. All righty. Notice John 8, verse 1. Jesus. Good place to start, isn't it? Jesus went on to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us over there in Leviticus 20, verse 10, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And to be really honest with you, those Pharisees back then are just like today. They're asking, but they really don't care. They don't really care what God thinks. They're just trying to get a benefit of the doubt for them. Are you with me? I love the liberals, so you know. Anyways, but what sayest thou? I'd like to tell you a lot what they say. But anyways, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. I like this. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. How many see that? I thought about over there in the Old Testament when God wrote the tablets with the hand of God. Remember that in the scriptures? Over there in Exodus 32 says it was written by the hand of God. And notice, and he acted as though, wrote with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continue asking, you know, why should he listen to them? They didn't have a sincere heart. They had an evil alternative what they were doing. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, said to them, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. By the way, all of sin comes short of glory. God, there's none righteous, not the preacher, not anyone else. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they returned it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Help me to be a blessing today. I sure want to be. We ask your blessings on each person here. Holy Spirit, work in each of our hearts today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Would you note with me again verse 6 and verse 8? Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. That's verse 6. And look at verse 8. And he stooped down again. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. My theme and my text My message today, Danny, is what Jesus wrote. That's the title. What did Jesus write in the ground? What did he write? I wonder what he wrote. Well, before the message ends today, I'm hoping to share with you what I believe he wrote. Amen? But believe it or not, there are some people, though, that don't believe Jesus wrote anything on the ground. Even though verse 6 and 8 says it, they say, no, he didn't write nothing. He was just acting like he was writing. Listen, did you know I've heard of groups? This is up on the up and up. Jesus, there's a group of people called the Jesus Seminar. The Jesus Seminar. And every year they meet and they go over the scriptures and they decide what if Jesus really said things or if he really did them, and they discuss it. And then they vote on it, and after they do the voting, they tell the media what they decided, what their insight of the scriptures was. And they, what they do, Brother Carey, all the people on that committee, they have two stones, Jack, two marbles. They have a white marble and a black marble. This is true. If they believe that what they read was true, they put a white marble in. If they believe it's false, they put the black marble in. And then they count the marbles up, and whatever how it comes out, then that's what they decide. And then they go to the media and say, after we've concluded, this is what it is. Now, people have asked me, what do you think of people of the Jesus Seminar and others like them? There's only one clear-cut answer for those people, for those kind of people. I think they've all lost their marbles. Amen? Listen, God's word is true. No matter if you believe it or not, no matter if you put a white marble in, or a black marble, or a green marble, or a purple marble, listen, if you don't think it's true, you've lost your marbles. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this, every word of God is pure. It's without error. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Brother Carey, I'm not going to argue it over the word. It's already settled. People want to argue about it. God says, I don't know what you're arguing about. It's already settled in heaven. Psalms 12, verse 5 and 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven's God's perfect number. Seven's the number of perfection. That's why the Bible is perfection. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Listen, we have a preserved Bible. We have a perfect Bible, Brother David. We have a pure Bible given to us from God Almighty. We'd have a pretty small God, Brother Carey, if he recorded it and couldn't preserve it. Amen? But my God can preserve it. Now he didn't record it, but he preserved it. It's recorded in heaven. Listen, you might be able to show me a verse. I don't understand everything I read, Brother Brian. I don't. You might show me a verse that I don't understand, but you won't show me a verse that I don't believe. I'm always going to give, even if I don't understand it, I'm still going to believe it. Amen? I'm always going to give God the benefit of the doubt. The question is today, though, what did Jesus write? What did he, when he stooped down those two times, verse 6 and verse 8, what did he write? Well, let's get, for me to give you the truth of that, let me give you the picture. Let's see what's going on there in the scriptures. Picture with me now what's taking place. Now, I want you to follow me in these scriptures now. Look at John chapter 7, verse 2. I'm going to give you the answer, but I'm going to show you what's going on first. You got to do this so you can understand what he wrote. In 7:2, notice 7:2. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. So here we are. We're at the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a whole lot. All the Jews are coming together. There's a lot of celebration. There's a lot of excitement. Are you with me? So, picture, we're at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. The streets are filled with people. People are coming in. There's excitement. The Jewish people and their scribes and Pharisees are coming from all different parts of the place, all different parts of the land, and they're meeting there for the Feast of Tabernacles. Listen, the Jewish priests. Can you imagine those priests? They were waving those willow branches, making that swish. And they go in the temple. And you can hear that from the willow branches. And you can hear that. You can hear the wind. You can hear the swish. The wind swishing. Are you with me? You know what that was a picture of that those priests were showing you? No. Did you know what that meant? They were picturing the Holy Spirit entering into the temple. Because the sound of the Holy Spirit relates to the sound of wind. For instance, hold your hand there. Look at John chapter 3, verse 8. Remember when Jesus talking to Nicodemus about being born again? How many remember that? He said, you must, and look at verse 3. He said, John 3, 3. You should be in the Gospel of John. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many see that? If you're here today, I don't care who you are, you got to be born again to get to heaven. I don't care if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, Catholic. That doesn't get you to heaven. You must be born again. By the way, this man Nicodemus, he was a Jewish priest. He had religion. But it wasn't enough to get him into heaven. See, religion won't get you to heaven. You have to have a Savior. And the Savior is the Son of God. Not Muhammad. It's Jesus Christ. Notice verse 5. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit. The water, when you're born, you have an earthly birth. The water sacks broke. That's earthly birth. Are you with me? And then the spirit. So you got an earthly birth and you got to have a heavenly birth. If you just have an earthly birth and not a heavenly birth, you won't make it to heaven. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, there's your water birth. See that? Verse 6. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So you got an earthly birth, Brother Brian. We got a heavenly birth of the Spirit of God. Now, look at the third time Jesus coming back. Marvel not that I say unto you, say unto thee, ye must be born again. One thing Jesus was adamant about, Tommy, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And so then, watch verse 8. We're talking about being born again. Look up here. We're talking about being born again. Amen? We're talking about an earthly birth and a spiritual birth. How many are still with me? Now watch. It's going to make a lot of sense to you as I get farther in the scriptures here. Mark, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So it's like the wind. You can't see it, but it comes in. Are you with me? And don't turn to it. Stay in John. In 2 Samuel 5, 23 and 24, I'm going to read it to you to save time. God told David not to attack the Philistines until he heard the wind in the mulberry trees, which signified the presence of God being there. Again, the wind representing the Holy Spirit. How many are with me? I'm going to read it to you. And when David, I'm in 2 Samuel 5:23. And David inquired of the Lord and said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them, against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going on the top, going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall be the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. When you hear the wind in the tops of the trees, know I'm there. Are you still with me? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. What was the sign of the Holy Spirit? And Acts 2:2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven and a rushing mighty wind. Can anyone say amen? Now stay with me. Look at John chapter 7, verse 14. Stay in John with me. John 7:14. So we're at the Feast of Tabernacles. What's going on? How many are still with me? Are you in the Gospel of John? Look at verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, that's about the middle of it. All right? Are you with me? Jesus went into the temple and taught. By the way, it was 7 days. How many are with me? And he taught in the temple. Now, I want you to watch this. This is Brother Kerry, for us to understand chapter 8, it's essential that we see some very important words that Jesus speaks in chapter 7. Notice what he says there in John 7, 14. He goes in the temple. Now look at, he starts to talk. Look at verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Go to verse 28. This whole chapter, he's talking to him, Brian. Jesus cried in the, then, are you in verse 28, John 7? Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, having saying, you both know that, and you know whence I am. By the way, he's the I am of the Bible. Remember Exodus 3:14? Moses said, God, what's your name? Who should I tell Israel God's name is? He said, you tell him I am had sent you. That's why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth. I am the living water. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. Are you with me? Over and over, Jesus kept saying, I am. He said, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. I mean, Jesus didn't make no bones about it. He said, listen, you're talking to God in the flesh. I know he was the Son of God, yet he was in God in the flesh. Boy, that's hard to understand, but that's what it was. Amen? Stay with me now. Look at verse 29. But I know him, for I am from him, the Father. Are you with me? And he had sent me. The Father sent him. Drop down to verse 37. Just to help us. Well, look at verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I'm with you. Then I go unto him that sent me. Do you see that? Now drop down to verse 37. In the last day, now he's starting to quote to them some Old Testament scripture that the priests and the rabbis all that knew the Old Testament, they knew. Watch what he says here. Watch what he says here. It's very important. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There's a reason he said that, and I'm going to show it to you in just a few minutes. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You might want to circle that or underline that. The rivers of living water. Remember that. Take note of that statement. Jesus said, I want you to know something. I'm the living water that came from heaven. Are you with me? How many are still with the preacher? Then he goes on to say, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they which believe on him should receive by the Holy Ghost, which is not yet given, because that Jesus was not glorified. Yet, in other words, he's referring to the Holy Spirit because he hadn't come yet because he hadn't died on the cross, hadn't risen. Remember, I'm going to talk to you about that sanctification, how the Holy Spirit came down to us. But notice verse 38. Jesus tells them, he said, I am the living water. Look at, he said, the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How many see that? Now listen to me. Those priests and rabbis knew what he was saying. They knew exactly what he was saying. Because they knew the Old Testament scriptures, prophecies. Let me just quote you Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14:8. And it remember about the living waters. And it shall be in that day that living waters, I'm in Zechariah 14:8, that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. How many see that? Or hear it at least. Living waters shall go forth. Then he says in Jeremiah 2:13, he says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain, I'm in Jeremiah 2:13, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Are you still with me? Now stay with me. Then you see in John 8:2, Jesus goes back in the temple again. And he's teaching them. Do you see John 8:2? How many are with me in John 8:2? The rabbis are mad. The priests are, you know why, Brian? Because there are different places in that temple, and people would sit down and they would teach them. All the people are around Jesus. There's a lot of vacant booths. There's priests and rabbis going to teach, but Jesus has got the attention of everybody. He ought to have their attention. He ought to have our attention. Amen. And Brother Eddie, these people are mad. They're jealous. Who does he think he is? This young whippersnapper thinks he knows it all. Hello? How dare him come in here and take our people from us? See, they like the praise of men instead of the praise of God. I like what Brother David always says. Don't praise no one here. Let's just praise God for the school and everything else. Amen? Notice, they're mad. They remember. And they, stay with me. Here we go. They remember, these Pharisees and scribes, they remember the words of John 7:38 that he spoke earlier. I am the living water. Are you with me? Now, in John chapter 8, they try to bring a woman caught in adultery. And they, by the way, if you notice, let me go to John 8. I'm over in Jeremiah. I'm going to come back to Jeremiah too, by the way. But in John chapter 8, you'll notice they bring a woman caught in adultery. Did you notice something there in verse 3? They brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they didn't throw her down. They set her down. They wanted to put her on trial right then. Stay with me. You're going to learn something here. Remember, Jesus is teaching. Those Old Testament people, the Jewish people, they went by the Torah, the Old Testament scriptures, Moses, five books. We call the Pentateuch. Are you with me? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. How many got? Are you with me? All right, you're going to teach us? Then he'll have to. We got him. He's got to pronounce judgment because Moses pronounced judgment. We got him. He can't get out of this. Because he's teaching us, so he has to follow the Torah. He has to follow Moses' writing. How many are still with me? Watch, though. I love this. See, Jesus, the Bible teaches us not to apply to foolish people. It says don't answer foolish questions in the scriptures. Are you with me? These are just fools that are talking to Jesus. How many are with me? Notice what he does. It's so great, Brother Eddie. And they said, and all they did to do is to try to trap him. Because he even says, notice, the Moses in the law, verse 5, command us that we should be stoned. She should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They're just trying to trap him. And the scripture, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. They just want to have some kind of accusation against him. Are you with me? But Jesus stooped down. By the way, I quoted this scripture in at the Romans class last week. He stooped down more than here. Hebrews 2:9 says that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. She said, "Preacher, why did Jesus stoop down below angels?" I said, "So he could die for mankind." He stooped farther than this, by the way. Amen? I'm glad we had a Savior that really loved us. He loved the sinners. The sinless loved the sinners. The pure one, the holy one, the just one loved the sinners. He loved the unlovely. Amen? I didn't have this plan. Let me pull it up here to you. Oh, I love the book of Romans. Romans 5:6. For in due time, Romans 5:6. What's that? Yeah, he did. Give me one word in 5:6 of Romans. Just give me one word of that. I'll quote it to you. Who's got Romans 5:6? For when we were yet sin, Christ died for the ungodly. No, we were without strength. For when we were yet without strength, because we can't save ourselves. You can't work your way to heaven. You might think you can work your way. You can't. You ain't got no strength in yourself to get you to heaven. It took the strength of God to take you up to heaven. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you. That's the whole world. And then it goes on in verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 and 10 says, we were enemies of Romans. But don't get in Romans. I got to get out of that for a minute. I love that book of Romans. I get you now, you'll never get out of there. Come on Tuesday night if you want to hear about Romans. Now notice what Jesus said. He stooped down and he acted like he didn't hear him. And then again he stooped down, verse 8, and wrote on the ground. Let me see that. Now what did he write? What did Jesus write on the ground? I don't know, but look at verse, I'm going to tell you in just 1 minute what I think. Look at verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted. Boy, that's what you need, heart conviction. That's why a lot of people say things, but they don't have real heart, true conviction, Brother Kerry, and that's why they don't do things. They heard it being convicted by their own conscience. By the way, God gave the conscience. You're born with a conscience. It comes from God. It's that light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. John 1:9. He's put like a little dome light, in, a little spiritual light in you. You're not saved, but that's why it says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Book of Hebrews. That little light, if you'll keep searching for Christ, he'll give you more light until you see the light of God, which is Jesus Christ. As Matthew 5:23 says, if that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? You see, how can people, they have no conscience. I just heard about a lady last night on the radio. She took her babies and threw them in the San Francisco Bay, I think it was. And killed them. Bought them a hot dog. And then dropped them in and killed them. Three babies. She said God told her to do that. No. God didn't tell her to do that. No, the demons told her. But God didn't. I'm going to tell you, when you look up here. I'm going to teach you kids something. It does matter the judgments you make. Because every time you say no to God, the light gets dimmer. Every time you say yes, I want to do right, it gets brighter. And when people keep saying no, like Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. Are you with me? His heart, you put the light out. Look, you get a conscience and you say, oh, God doesn't want me to do this, but I don't care, I'm going to do it anyways. Then the next time it's easier because you've darkened your heart. Don't take for granted sin. Sin will darken your heart, and you'll not do what God wants when you start doing that. That's why we need to fear God. Hello? How many are with me? Oh, it won't matter. It's just a small sin. No, it puts the light. It dims the light. How many are still with me? Am I making any sense to you folks? I know what I'm talking about. But here I want to ask, what did Jesus write? Whatever they did, now notice, but Jesus acted like he didn't hear them, and he just keeps on writing on the ground, verse 6 and verse 8, and Jesus writes again, and what did he write? Well, preacher, we're wanting to know what he wrote. Verse 9 says, whatever he did, they were convicted by their own conscience. Let me see that verse 9. Now watch. They were convicted with what they heard Jesus say, what they saw Jesus write, and what they knew of the Old Testament scriptures. By the way, it's Jesus is the Word. So the writing was his Word. And the old scripture. They were convicted by the word of God. Because it's all, they're all his. How many are with me yet? Watch this. Watch this. I want, if you would, read again. Stay, if you want, turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. I'm going to put it all together now. I'm going to put all this together. What did Jesus write on that ground? Remember now, what did he, Brian, what did he tell me he was in John chapter 7? The living waters. How many remember that? How many, what did he say, Joe? I'm the living water. Come from heaven. Earlier I read you in John, he sent me. I come from above. Then he said, I'm the living water. How many are still with me? Now watch. Remember, I read to you Zechariah 14:8 said, living waters shall come down. Are you with me? Now watch. Watch. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. Two. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Broken systems that can hold no water. They forsake me so much. The lights went out. They've broken the system that I gave them. And now because they've forsaken me, now it has no water. Because it takes water. Washing of the water by the word. Are you with me? Watch Brother Kerry, watch Jeremiah. This next scripture. Watch the Jeremiah. Are you in two? Are you in two? Look at Jeremiah 17:12. This is going to open up some eyes. You know, we have a commercial. It's not nice to say no to Mother Nature. You know why they say that? They get everything from the Bible. Mother Nature ain't got nothing to do with it. It's not nice to say no to God. I want you to see something here. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 12 and 13. I'm going to put it all together. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Hallelujah. He's from heaven. Amen. Watch this. O Lord, the hope of Israel. Who's the hope of Israel? The Lord. Yep, Jesus. Watch what it says there. I'm in Jeremiah 17:13. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed. And they that depart from thee shall be written in the earth. Because they've forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living waters. I'm going to tell you what I believe he was writing. I believe he's writing their names. And they knew the Old Testament scripture. And he said, I'm not going to judge that woman in adultery. No, I'm judging you because you're forsaking me. And I think I'm going to start writing your names in the earth. Because all that forsakes the living water, Christ, your names are going to be written in the earth. Because all that forsakes the living water, Brother Bud, they die and go to hell. See, to get to heaven, you don't want your name. All the other names, and you can have them on tombstones all you want. So all the names on the earth, they go to hell. It's the name written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, that gets you to heaven. And Carl, they look up here. This is so great, Joe. Isn't this great? Amen. Bobby, they said, oh, my lands. He really is the living water. If we reject him, we'll be rejecting the living water. And our names will be written. Man, they got out of there. Hello? Amen. I believe he was writing their names. Because he's saying, hey, you Paco, whatever your name is, okay? There ain't no such thing as Paco in the Hebrew. Hey, you, Judas, your name's going to be written in earth. Hey, your heart's forsaken me. I know I told you I was a living fountain of water coming down from heaven, and you're forsaken me. I'm writing your name on earth. You're doomed. Hello? Watch. See, you don't want your name written in earth. You want your name written in heaven. Let me give you two more scriptures, and I'll let you out of here. Turn your Bible. How many see it? Look at Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 15. If you're not saved, your name's not written in the book of life. If you're not saved, your name's not written in heaven, and that means when you die, you go to hell. Brother Coolidge, I noted about your mama. I'm going to preach Beulah Greer's funeral tomorrow. And Beulah Greer was I met her. She was a wonderful lady. She loved her family. She was a Christian lady. She loved the Lord. And what a great mother. What a great wife. But she didn't she didn't go to heaven. Because she was a great mother and a great woman and a precious lady. She's in heaven today because her name was written in heaven. Amen. Because one day in her life she took Christ as her Savior. And her name got written in heaven. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine. And the white robes angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. Bum, 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 bum. Are you with me? Watch. Two scriptures and we're done. And then I got to quote one more. If your name's not written in heaven, you don't want your name written in earth. You don't want your name written in earth. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. How many see that? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, your one breath, your one heartbeat from the lake of fire. Because no one goes to heaven because of Bethel Baptist or any other church. They go to heaven because they got their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And there shall in just the next chapter. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defiled, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or make the lie. We're talking about heaven here. This is eternity here. But they, who's the ones that get in heaven? But they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me ask you something. Where's your name written today? Is it written in earth? Or is it going to be written in heaven? If you've trusted Christ, it's written in heaven. If you're not, if you have never taken Christ, then what you've really done, you've rejected the living waters. And so you're still thirsting. And you're going to die in that thirst in the eternal place called hell. By the way, let me just give you one scripture more and we'll close. Jesus told, remember in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the disciples were coming back. Why don't you look at it? I was just going to quote. Go ahead, one more scripture. I love the Bible. I'm going to get you to read through it with me this coming year. We're going to read through it together. Look at Luke chapter. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And I will close. Jesus said, "Well, pick up 19, Luke 19, 10:19 of Luke. Behold, I've given you power to tread on serpents, scorpions." Over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, Jesus said, even though you can do all these things, in this rejoice not. Don't get excited about the things about this world that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, Jesus is writing their names there. They're saying, you're condemned. You've rejected the living water. God says, you know what? By the way, that's why I get so excited when you sing those songs. Yep, 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 and jump up and down. Because my name's written. And years ago, I asked Christ to save my soul. Let me ask you something when we close. Where's your name written? Is your name written in earth? Or is your name written in heaven? If you want to go to heaven, it's got to be written in heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder this morning, the only way you get your name written in heaven is like Mrs. Beulah Greer. One day she realized she was a lost sinner on her way to hell. And she realized that Christ loved her. He loves you, by the way. He loves you. And He died for you. And she realized He died for her sins. Because all of sin had come short of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That means you. That means me. That means everyone. But Jesus didn't have no sin. That's why He could die for sinners. He was a just that died for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. And one day she got down. She asked Christ to save her soul. Hallelujah. That's why, Brother Coolidge, I know she's with Him. Because God always keeps His promise. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. I want you to search your heart. Scripture says in Corinthians 13:5, we're to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not. Have you really saw yourself a lost sinner? Have you realized that Christ literally came to die just for your sins on the cross of Calvary? Do you realize that He came and died for you and that He arose and that He's more than just a swear word? That He's risen, He's alive, He's real, He's in heaven, He's going to come back, I believe, in your lifetime. And one day you're going to have to make a decision like these people, these Pharisees had to make, and they chose not to take them. And your name's either going to be written in earth or your name's going to be written in heaven. You have to decide. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ has His arms open to all people.
Amen.
Come. Just come. Come. Come unto Me. All you that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I wonder how many would say with a sure heart and a true heart, Pastor, I know for sure there was a day that I saw myself a lost sinner and I asked Christ to save me. And I believe He's the living water that can get me to heaven. Who could raise and say, Pastor, I know for sure. Thank you. May put them down. God bless all you. Some people didn't raise. They were honest. That's the first way to get to heaven. You got to be honest with yourself and honest with God. How many say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I really want my name written in the book of life. So when I die, I do go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see that. Who else? Maybe I didn't see your hand. Pray for me. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Is there anyone else? Maybe I didn't see your hand. Hard to look on both sides. Sometimes I've seen at least two. I saw at least two.
Amen.
God bless you. I see that hand.
Amen.
God bless you. Jesus is calling today. He's the living water. He wants you to take Him today and ask Him into your heart. And if you'll do that, He'll come in. He'll save you. And you can have your name written in heaven. And when you die, you can see Beulah Greer, because that's where she's at. Hallelujah, Brother Coolidge. We're going to see her in the future.
Amen.
And you... If you ask Christ to save you today, the angels will rejoice, and there'll be a new name written in glory, and it'll be yours. Who else? Include me in that prayer. Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just raise your hand. Include me in that prayer. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart, people will come and be saved today.
Amen.
I pray they'll get their name written in heaven. Oh, God, let them know it's not religion. It's all about taking Jesus as their Savior. It's not baptism, not church membership, not being a good person. It's just making Jesus their Savior.
Amen.
Oh God, Holy Spirit, may the wind of the Spirit of God blow on them today. May it bring them to Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come and be saved, you come right now. Come right now. Step up.